Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 17th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are reading page 25, third paragraph, if you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, and we'll end with that one paragraph, willing to make the effort. Today's readers are Judy O. on the 12 Steps, Laurel P. on the 12 Traditions, Tamara C. reading our text, Craig is reading our closing, Craig F., and Nancy P. will be our backup this morning, standing in the wings. Our newcomer greeter will be Karen W., and Christine G. is going to be leading our second hour of the meeting, so stand by for that. The reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday's special edition, 21490, 21,490. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There's no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Let's go ahead and read those. I'll now ask Judy O. to read our 12 steps.
Hi, this is Judy O., a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Now, thanks, Judy O. Laurel P., would you read our 12 traditions?
Hi, this is Laurel B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Wakanda, Illinois. Here are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8 Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9 OA has sought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10 Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Great. Thanks so much, Laurel B. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. We read a paragraph or two from, Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book on page 25, the third paragraph, if you're as seriously alcoholic as we were, ending with the end of that one paragraph, willing to make the effort. So let's ask Tamara C. to kick us off today. Tamara, please share.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater living in Missouri. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there's no middle-of-the-road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could. And the other, to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. I'm seriously a compulsive overeater. In my disease, I tried to blot out my intolerable situation, which for me was my old attitudes, my old ideas that were very shame-based and fear-based. I was the actor trying to control the whole show, just trying to do enough and be enough so I could be safe and be okay and be worthy. And the way I tried to blot this out was turning to food. And for a time, food did comfort me from all of that hopelessness and futility of life. You know, trying to exert myself more, trying to control my circumstances and trying to wrest satisfaction out of life, all of this striving and fighting. It was very, very painful. And for a while, food really did give me that. It like blotted out the consciousness of that for a while. That sense of impending doom and intense shame and fear all the time. It was such an awful and terrible way to live. But then after a while, I continued to either try to control my food or escape into the food, it stopped working. Like, it wasn't comforting me anymore, and I still couldn't give it up. I couldn't stop eating, and so it was even more miserable. and it became harder and harder to like blot out the consciousness of my intolerable situation, but I just tried harder, and I was really, really cornered. And so when an alternative opened up for me in the steps, in spiritual action that I could take that could get me into a real working, meaningful connection with a higher power, boy, did I want it. And I was willing. I was willing because the alternative was horrible, horrible. So it is my solution, this spiritual path, this attitude that God is my new director, God is in charge and I'm not, and I get to have new attitudes, and the old attitudes still come up, and I still have a choice, turn to the food or to turn to my higher power with the help of the steps and the fellowship. Reconnecting with others helps me live the steps. It supports my step life. And so I choose that today, and I hope I choose it again tomorrow. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Tamara C., for getting us started. So let's see. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. But I'll go ahead and take a list of names, folks who'd like to share on this very wonderful paragraph, really meaty. So who'd like to share?
Greg, yes.
This is Mary
J.
Francis B. Mary, and I got somebody, Oshawa W. Got you. And then I heard Tony B. in the background.
Francis B. from Michigan.
Gotcha. Rick J. And I got somebody from Michigan. Say your name again, please.
Francis B.
Francis, got you. So let me tell you who I have so far. Craig, Larry, Oshawa, Tony, Rick, and Francis. Who'd I miss?
Lulu L.
Melissa B. in Michigan.
Okay, I got Melissa and Lulu. Lulu first, Melissa.
Ginger C.
Ginger, gotcha. All right, that's a great list to get started. We will have time, so stand by if you want to add your name to the list a little later. I've got Craig, Larry, Oshawa, Tony, Rick J., Francis, Lulu, Melissa, and Ginger. So, Craig, go right ahead. You're followed by Larry K.
All right. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This paragraph is pretty stark in reality. It tells us that we have two choices, and only two choices. It doesn't say here's a couple of choices and there may be others. It basically says, no, that you've got two choices. One is to go ahead and eat yourself to death, you know, to live in this horrible disease in the rest of your life, or your short life probably, or to accept spiritual help. And, you know, it doesn't say that there's a choice here that I get to kind of create my own program, or that I get to take a little bit and leave the rest. You know, that I can come in and I'll go to meetings and I won't eat. You know, that isn't accepting spiritual help. You know, the implication here is that my choice is, I've got to be all in. Over in How It Works, it's going to tell us that half measures availed us nothing. You know, we stood at the turning point. We have to give ourselves over to this program with complete abandon. And that's what he's starting to say here, is that we have to accept spiritual help. In other words, we have to throw ourselves into these steps. We have to throw ourselves into this spiritual program of recovery as it's written, completely. And there's really not any pussyfooting around here. And, you know, I did that for a long time. I did it, tried to do it my way. I tried to leave certain things out that I didn't want to do. There were things I wasn't making amends for. There were things I wasn't going to admit. there were, you know, that's not spiritual help. You know, that's not accepting spiritual help. That's trying to con the program, and you can't do that. I can't con my way through this. I've got to be completely out of other options and face the fact that I have these two options, death by compulsive overeating or life in the spirit. You know, we're all going to die, but we can die with the disease or from the disease. Today I choose to die with the disease and put that off as long as I can. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much. Craig F. And Larry, you are up. Larry K.
Thanks so much for your service. This is Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. I'm in Brazil. Oh, my gosh. It's beautiful here. And I love this paragraph, and it reminds me of, as Craig said, the two doors. And, you know, in we agnostics, it's interesting. It says when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. Or if when eating, in our case, you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably an alcoholic, right? I'm an alcoholic eater. And it told me, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And that's good news for me because and I remember sponsors telling me, let me repeat that part for you, Larry. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. He says, now you know what you have to do in order to recover from this disease. I have to undergo a life-changing, revolutionary spiritual transformation. And that was not the answer that I expected to find in Overeaters Anonymous. But I have to remember that this is a fatal, progressive illness. And prior to AA, prior to, you know, OA, most alcoholics either die drunk. They were locked up in jails, in insane asylums back then. You know, and in so many things, especially with us, you know, our history is our greatest asset. We arrive to the doors of OA with an intensive, you know, lengthy history of things that do not work, right? And today we have hopefully you have a lengthy and intensive history of things that do work. You know, and you won't regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. And in this text, I find a practical program of action that produces a very specific result. But to the extent, you know, that I try to rewrite the instruction manual, to the extent that I try to reinvent the process, I'm going to learn, and I have learned, through bitter experience with these half measures, they're going to avail me. They're going to avail me nothing. Nothing at all, no matter how much the need, no matter how great the intent that I have to recover, I have to follow this instruction manual precisely. I'll wrap up with this. When I used to teach, we had many editions of different psychology books, and because things change over time. In this book, in this text, in this manual, this blueprint, we don't have, you know, 20 editions, right? Because the information works. It hasn't fundamentally changed. It produces an essential psychic change. How grateful are we to be able to have this way of life? How grateful am I? With that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Larry Kay from Illinois. And Oshawa, you're up. You'll be followed by Tony B.
Hi, this is Oshawa W. I think, can I be heard?
You sure can.
This is Francis from Michigan.
Francis, you're not up yet. So, Oshawa, you go ahead. Francis, you're a little ways down the list, but I have you.
Thank you. My name is Oshawa W.
Yeah.
Calling from Vermont. I think it's Massachusetts on the list. Compulsive overeater. I am recovering. And part of my recovery is that last Friday or a week ago Friday, I made a mistake with my phone and wanted to take the opportunity. This is the first opportunity I had to apologize to the group for that. And I now have a timer. so I apologize for that overstep. I appreciate the reading and the first sharer, and actually all the shares. The words in the first share that really stick with me are fear and shame, which are themes that I have been, you know, possessed by in life and continue to be working on in my program. And the reminder that there is a spiritual solution that covers not only food, but fear and shame, that I can live life fully. It's just really great for this moment in my life. With that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you all for your service.
Great. Thanks so much. Oshawa W. in Vermont, possibly Massachusetts on the list. Glad to hear you. Tony B., you're up next. You'll be followed by Rick J. And just a quick reminder where we are. We're on page 25, third paragraph. And if you're as seriously alcoholic as we were, ending with willing to make the effort. So, Tony, go right ahead.
Thank you, Barbara. My name's Tony B., and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. So good to be on the line this morning. Thank you for your service and everybody doing service. So, yeah, I finally wanted to. You know, this is the choice that I have made, to accept spiritual help, to accept that God is in charge, to accept the working of all the steps and continuously, and allowing it to become a way of life for me. I have to be all in, and that's what this paragraph is telling me, that there is no middle of the road solution. Half measures availed us nothing. So the image I get here is of one foot on one side of the road and the other foot on the other side of the road. One's in OA and one's in the food, and that's pretty uncomfortable. I'm neither in one nor the other, and I choose the land of recovery, which is over on that side, or I choose the land of the disease, which is over on the other. But there really is, I can't be there in the hanging in the middle of the road. It's no life. Well, it's hell. It's this region, you know, which we don't want to be in, trying to blot out the consciousness. It's this intolerable situation there with my legs straddling the road. And I was certainly in a position where life was becoming impossible. I was absolutely going insane with the bafflement. You know, I do not want to eat anymore. I do not want to keep doing this. And yet I cannot stop doing this. And at the start of last year, at the start of 2023, I found I was in just the same place. Although I'd been in OA since 2011, it had availed me nothing because I'd been half measuring it since then until I came into Vision for You at the beginning of 2023. And yes, I'd go to meetings. I'd do service on those meetings. I got a sponsor. I tried to eat by a food plan. I tried to do the steps. But it wasn't until I heard on this meeting such a clear message, and I think along with being desperate enough, that I was willing to do it. And I do need that desperation, and I have to retain that desperation. So yeah, that's what I wanted to share. I'm just so, so grateful for this meeting, and I'll leave it there. I pass.
Great, Tony B., thank you so much. From Scotland, Rick J., you're up, and you'll be followed by Francis D.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. Love the shares this morning. So grateful to be here. Yeah, there is no middle-of-the-road solution, and we are in the chapter, there is a solution, but there is no middle-of-the-road solution, and up at the very top, you know, where there is a solution in italics, I've just drawn an arrow all the way down to the bottom of the page in these last words, to accept spiritual help. There is a solution to accept spiritual help. You know, I had passed through the region from which there was no return to human aid. And again, that, you know, I had passed through the event horizon of the black hole of my addiction. You know, there's just no going back, and I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper into the darkness, more and more cut off, more and more alone, more and more desperate, more and more emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally broken, compromised, you know, and then the intolerable situation of my life, the intolerable situation of my life was to, you know, to eat more. Because the feelings I could not deal with. I could not deal with it. I had to keep seeking ease and comfort in the food, but I was also physically addicted. And long after the food stopped working for me, you know, I had no choice but to go on. I was beyond human aid. And, you know, they've outlined the facts here for us, you know, all through this chapter. And we just got finished reading my, you know, the favorite facts of all, you know, is that we've, you know, with deep and effective spiritual experiences that have revolutionized our whole attitude. And the central fact is that, you know, our Creator has entered into our hearts with absolute certainty, you know, and it's miraculous. How do we get there, though? We accept spiritual help. So it's like, which fact do I want to connect with in my life today? The stark and the ugly facts of me being beyond human aid, where I may die and go permanently insane, that there's no, I have no choice here, or to accept spiritual help and live in the solution that's outlined in this spiritual program of action. But the last few words in this paragraph is the one that really hits me. And I honestly wanted to change, but until I was willing to make the effort, to do the actions required. And honestly, I wasn't always honestly wanting to do the things that were required, but I did it anyway. I just made the effort. And I'm so glad to be living freedom today. With that, I pass.
Oh, thanks, Rick J., North Carolina. Francis D., you're up. You'll be followed by Lulu. Francis D. in
this
Michigan.
Is Francis.
Yeah, we got you now, Francis. Go right ahead.
Okay. I apologize again for the interruption, in particular to the speaker. Thank you for your service. I really relate to this. When I, between 2005 and 2009, I released 96 pounds, and I reconnected with my God, and felt everything was okay. And then in 2009, a lot of emotions started coming in because I was no longer stuffing them with food, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get sober again. And God had a coworker give me a reading from Jesus Calling, and I loved it, and I read it every day for months and months. And then one day I realized it was the day of my mother's, that my mother died. And I realized that I still had some cleanup work between myself and my God. And I'm grateful for this program that reminds us continually our relationship with God is what counts. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Francis D. in Michigan. Lulu, you're up, and you'll be followed by Melissa B. in Michigan.
Good morning, family. Lulu L. in Florida. And it's beautiful this morning. I'm in my hammock. And I just wanted to say that because not that long ago, I couldn't get in and out of my hammock, but now I can. Thanks be to God. So we all wouldn't be here if we couldn't admit that we were seriously alcoholic with food. I certainly was. I would pray to the God that I knew and said, please make me skinny. I want to wake up tomorrow skinny. Or maybe I would give him a couple weeks. I want to be thin and skinny. I want to stop this. Help me stop this. But it was superficial prayers. They were shallow. They weren't deep from my heart. And so I would throw the delicious, what I thought at that time was delicious food out in the yard, and then 15 minutes later, I would go pick it up. Or I would hide it from myself, as if you can hide food from a compulsive overeater. And I'd throw it in my shed, and then hours later, I'd go out with the flashlight and find it and hope I got there before any critters did. I was so seriously in the food and kept thinking, but I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm praying. But it was, as I said, a superficial prayer. And then I got into A Vision for You, and I saw that what I thought was a connection with God was a connection with Santa Claus. And so it really took a sponsor and the steps to take me in as deep as I needed to go. So not only did I not have to buy the food, I didn't have to throw it in the yard. It's just absolutely amazing. This program is amazing how it has woken me up. God is right here. God is in my every cell. All I have to do is surrender to that God and surrender to the steps and not be resistant and fighting every step of the way, which I've done for the whole of my life until pretty recently, last couple of years. And so I am grateful for A Vision for God brought me here. I'm grateful for OA. I'm grateful for the service that everybody does on this line. And I'm grateful to be abstinent and recovered only by the grace of my loving God today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Lulu, and enjoy that hammock in Florida. Just a reminder, we're on page 25, third paragraph. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, and we're just that one paragraph, Melissa B., you're up. You'll be followed by Ginger C., and then we should have time for several more people. Melissa B.,
Thank
go
you.
Right ahead.
All right. My name is Melissa B., and I am a compulsive overeater in Michigan. I really love this paragraph a lot. Thank you for all of your service and for all of your shares. So I'm fairly new to this program. I've been in just for a few months, but this idea of there is no middle road solution is very pertinent for me right now. I keep trying to just half do it. And this weekend, I did the same thing. I just kind of half prepared for some situations that made me want to go to the food. And because I did not give myself fully to it, I totally gave in to the food again. And it was, a bit eye-opening, the extent to which my addiction is there. And I had lied to myself that I had fully, that I had a plan, but I didn't really. And like when I was looking back, I was not truly prepared. My preparation was very dependent on others having providing options that would be good for me to go, which is ridiculous. Anyways, the part of this paragraph that stands out the most to me is the last sentence. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. And I'm realizing I was not willing to make the effort. I just was reliant on this expectation that others would magically know what I needed, that I would magically have the willpower to say no to the things that I need to avoid. And, you know, somehow I magically did not occur. And I'm realizing also that the effort that I keep making is the white knuckling effort. This, you can do it. You can have the self-will power, which is a lie that I keep believing. No, the effort that I need is to go through the steps fully and honestly to reach for God's help and to reach out to support from other fellows who have been there and know my disease. That is all. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much, Melissa B. from Michigan. Ginger C., come on in.
Good morning, everyone. Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater in Colorado. What a powerful meeting. I'm so grateful to God that, A, I got up this morning, because when I eat, I don't wake up at that early hour. And it's my best hour. It's an hour that I get to be really quiet and contemplative and really connected, because there's so much peace to me in the early morning and also around sunset. So grateful to wake up early and to wake up clean and clear. And Tamara C., I believe that was who began us this morning. You had such a beautiful and powerful share. So thank you. And thank you, everyone, for your service. You know, beautiful bites, those that are eating this message is for you, because that's what I've known almost 5 years in relapse. I'll never forget when a friend on Vision said she was in relapse for 7 years. And I was like, you've got to be effing kidding me. And now to see my own path in that experience, it's blowing my mind. And I'll never forget another friend in Vision when I started off so strong and feeling so great. And he said, Ginger, you're going to be amazed. Somebody's going to relapse on the lines that shares all the time. Little did I know it would be me. So the good news to me this morning, especially for those that might be in the disease, because I think many more are out than in, is that it is painful. It is progressive. And this sentence says it all. You're in a position where life was becoming impossible, because that's what happens. When I'm eating, my life gets harder and harder. And there is no freedom. There is no neutrality. There's nothing of these 10-step promises. And I can't believe the incomprehensible demoralization that comes. My girlfriend just came into town. Her husband is a Swiss chef. And I am so bad in my disease when they were here visiting from out of state that I'm trying to convince them that crumble cookies and voodoo donuts are the place to go. And he's a Swiss chef. And he's probably just looking at me like, you're out of your mind. And I am. When I eat, I'm out of my mind. And anything sugary is where I'm heading. So again, I'm just so grateful that the pain presses in and presses on, because that's how we say, hopefully, I'm done. I'm out of ideas. Help me. And this is the good news. I lack power when it comes to my food addiction. And without power between me and the bite, I'm going to eat. And he has commenced to accomplish, this is a sentence above, but we just read it yesterday or the last time, for those things which we could never do by ourselves. We do this together. God is the thing that is the most important piece. And this is what the 164 pages is all about. It's connecting you to the power that you have down within yourself. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll end with this, you know, my relapse began because I stopped doing what was working. This has always worked. AA is going on 90 years of success because it works. These pages don't lie. But I've got to practice actions daily. I have to connect right here, right now in this minute. And it's not about yesterday's work. So I just pray everybody continues and stays out of the food, because it is an absolute beast. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Ginger C. Okay, so we have time for probably at least 4, maybe 5 shares. Let's see who would like to share.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was that? R? Was that Rivka?
Justin.
Yeah.
Jim, Lisa B. G.
Okay, hold on. Back it up, Rivka. I got you. That's all I got so far.
Tina F.
Lisa B. G.
Lisa B. T. Freya.
Leia.
Oh, Leia. Okay. So I have 4. I can take one more. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Who else?
All right. Well, let's not take time. Let's go. Rivka R., you are up, followed by Tina S.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service and everyone for the amazing shares. This is Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. Yeah, go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could. And my problem was that I was so blind, like I did not see my situation as intolerable. The only thing that was intolerable was being fat, and I was completely powerless to do anything about that for any amount of time. And I didn't see that the way I was living life was intolerable. Like, I was living a life that was totally disconnecting me from the source of joy in life. I was living a life of deep resentment and blame and shame and fear and control, so reactive to everything, not being happy, not knowing how to live, like not valuing this incredible gift of life. I remember even as a little kid, I would think, well, if I wasn't created, I wouldn't be suffering, so what's the point of being created? Like, I really just wanted to get through life and not suffer. That was my goal. Like, I just get me through this. And I didn't realize that, like, my motives and my way of going about things was just all wrong. Like, I wanted success and recognition and security. And, you know, like it says in the previous paragraph, like, what had to change is my whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. Like, I used to, you know, think that, well, you know, I can control myself with my mood and my food. Like, that's how I used to live life. But the change, you know, going really from a totally self-centered orientation to a God-centered orientation is, I mean, that happened through the result of working the steps and listening on this line and opening up my heart to the reality of a relationship with God, where I can choose to bring that awareness into every moment. And I'm not perfect, but when I forget, like, I know by my feelings that my attitude is off. And yes, I only have two alternatives, like blotting out the consciousness of God or embracing and accepting spiritual help. So thank you, everyone, for being on this line and being on this journey, and I pass.
Thanks, Rivka R. Tina S., you'll go, and you'll be followed by Lisa B.T.
Thanks for your service, Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great meeting. I just love being on this line, and I just, you know, I'm where I belong for sure. You know, a seriously alcoholic, I have to laugh at that. You know, I just do. Because if I was serious about anything, it was my food addiction, for sure. You know, I'm also an alcoholic, so that too. But, you know, and I love that it says there's no middle-of-the-road solution. For many, many years, I wanted to try something other than this, you know. And it says that, you know, I passed from the region from which there is no return through human aid. And I always wanted somebody else to fix me. Can't you fix me? Can't you fix me? You know, and, you know, and I played with these two alternatives for many years, going on to the bitter end or accepting spiritual help, you know. And they told me those were my two alternatives. I was like, seriously, you know, because I didn't come here to get spiritual. And I say that because it's just the truth. You know, I had, you know, in my experience over the years, you know, because I had thought spirituality and religion was the same. I was like, nah, not so much. Don't want it. You know, but the last part of this paragraph is where it gets me. You know, it says, what are we going to do? You know, go on to the bitter end or accept spiritual help. It says, this we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. And I heard a share earlier that talked about making the effort, you know, and that's where it is for me today. You know, I have to take the action. I have to do the deal. You know, if I want what you have, I got to be doing what you're doing. You know, or I'm not going to get that. You know, this is some great stuff. This is a great part of the book, and I'm just really grateful to be here. And I'm grateful to be free today because I continue to do this thing one day at a time. You know, I ask God to keep me sober, abstinent, and clean. Sane. You know, and I follow my food plan. I talk to a sponsor. I talk to sponsees. I do this stuff, and it ain't always because I want to. It's because I need to. So with that, I'll pass. Great stuff.
Thanks so much, Tina S. in Florida. Lisa B.T., you're up, and you'll be followed by Leah S.
Hi. Good morning. This is Lisa B.T.
What a fantastic meeting. What a fantastic paragraph. I mean, every single paragraph always does go, oh, what a fantastic paragraph. But this one today really just captured me. I've really appreciated all the shares about it. And I wanted to add an experience for me that has just taken me such a long time I don't know what would I want to say, feel. No, I'm not even understand, just sort of feel in my soul. And that is around the idea of grace. When I first came into all set food recovery, I couldn't believe it even existed. I thought it was just me. All those years, I was already in my late 40s, and I could not believe that something like this existed. I just was amazed and in every way, except when it came to sort of doing all the stuff I was supposed to do. I would sort of pick and choose. And for that reason, you know, I was in the program for a long time, not really in the program. But my sponsor, when I very first started, said, can I ask you if you're willing to be willing? And that I always was able to say yes to. But as we know, somebody pointed out, you know, this isn't a program which is about a vague willingness. What came to me today was that for me, I think I also had a real misunderstanding of the idea of God's grace. I thought that that was something I had to earn, something that some people got, some people didn't, or I certainly have had a wonderful life in many respects, so I knew that I, you know, had it sometimes. But I really, really have not been able to wrap my head around for such a long time about the fact, and this is the great fact for me, that grace is free and there for all and is the sort of fabric of life itself. And that has been such a monumental thing for me to truly accept. And I feel that's been really a big part of my own journey. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks so much, Lisa B.T. And Leah S., you're up, and then we should have time for a couple more shares.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for this beautiful meeting. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered and so grateful in Brooklyn, New York. And I must make a public announcement for this clear, beautiful, beautifully explained special presentation we had by John Kay. It was just really phenomenal. And now going back to this paragraph, there are two things in this paragraph that made me not understand it, and perhaps it makes someone else a little bit difficult. So let me explain how I understood it. When they're saying intolerable situation, it means willingness. I'm going to get that willingness. When it says to accept spiritual help, that means action. What does it mean, action? What is the action that I have to do? Now, two things I said were not understandable to me, and they were very, very big mystery. One is that I can't see as I'm gaining weight. I can't see as I'm losing weight. And the second thing is, I don't know what this spirituality is all about. And I can't see God, you know, like you got to see something to understand it. And what I was made to understand is that each step is an action. an action in my mind. This is what I'm going to do. Up until step four, this is what I am. This is who I am. I am facing it. In step six and seven, I am already into action. I am already consciously working in my mind this power to come in here and to help me with it. I'm actually finally bringing it to the surface, all these things that were bothering me. I'm starting to do the steps, and I'm seeing it, and I'm believing it, and I'm willing to do it. And I just trust the process. And please trust the process, because that'll get you forward. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Great. Thanks, Leah S. And we have time for either two and a half minute shares or one share and one and a half. Anyway, we've got time for two, I think. Who would like those? And if you can just keep them brief, that'd be great.
Justin C.
Justin. Well, go ahead, Justin. You can take the whole three, and then we'll figure it out.
Okay. My name is Justin C., compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you all for being here, moderator, for bringing this meeting today. What actually hit me about this paragraph is the past tense words that are being used here. If you are seriously alcoholic as we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And I can feel the hope in what they were saying here. These promises, the fact that these first 100 and how it grew, of these folks who were doing this work, who were accepting the spiritual help, who had come to this conclusion that that human aid was not going to do it, and I am so grateful that I was multiple times by different people nudged towards vision, towards this call, because I stuck around long enough to really begin to listen to you all. And what I started to hear is the same that came through these pages, through this first 100, which is hope. Hearing you, so confidently, God coming through your words, introducing yourself as recovered. I can feel that coming through, through your voices. And I began to feel hope in that. And my willingness began to grow to get into this action, as multiple people have shared, and that I have to do this daily. I have to choose not to be in this middle of the road, but I have to choose to accept that spiritual help and to move into a reliance upon God in every moment, throughout every day. And I just wanted to say that I'm just so grateful, for this for this line and for the hope and faith that is growing for me out of this. So hope everybody has a great day. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thanks, Justin C. And thanks, everybody. Is there anyone who'd like to take? We have just a minute or two.
Kathy C.
Yeah, Kathy, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kathy C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. And, this is one of those paragraphs that really, really speak to me. And it's still today, even though I haven't binged or behaved, compulsively with food for years, my intolerable situation at the very beginning was me trying to be abstinent alone, on my own ideas, on my own willpower, right? And here it says that I don't have a choice. Or control and choice, right, through human aid as well. I only have two alternatives, meaning either continue what I'm doing, trying to be, live in this intolerable situation. It was intolerable, like trying to be abstinent and trying to forget what I did and try again tomorrow. And the other is to accept spiritual help. So that's me having to accept spiritual help, meaning I can't even tell God what I need. I need to ask, what would you need from me today? How am I to do this thing today, life? How am I to speak? How am I to think? And I have to be abstinent all along as well at the very beginning. But once I opened up, you know, my heart and my mind to this greater power, then I was able to stay, you know, abstinent. I didn't have to hurt myself because my thinking started to change. My heart started to change. And then my actions changed. So all I have to do is just accept the help. Just be open, abandon myself to this help, to the steps, right? Because either I'm going to live in self or I'm going to die. So do I want to continue how I was living, knowing that I'm going to get to the same place over and over and over again? That was my step one. You know, I really conceded that this is going to continue. I'm going to eat. It tells me I don't have a choice to eat or not to eat. I wish I had, but I have an alternative. I can live another way. And I need this higher powers way, which is down deep inside me, which today I'm free. And I'm grateful, eternally grateful for this gift. I pass. Thank you.
Well, great. Thanks so much, Kathy C., for closing us out. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour, more great stuff, more great shares, immediately following our closing. Let me give you today's share ID. Powerful meeting today. It was 21491. That's today, Monday, June 17th, 21491. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Craig F., will you read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only through Keep You Until Then.
Sure. This is still Craig F. recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.